We got it, Richard. There we go. Good. I wanted to address what you said there, Craig, and just encouraging us and what you were focusing on us on. Our perfect father never gets frustrated. But like a perfect father, he continually instructs his children in the way they should go for our very best out of a loving heart for those that are his. Us fathers want to pattern our life in that way, don't we? Such a wonderful focus throughout the service today, don't you think so? Really a wonderful focus from just everyone that shared from the songs. And I just want to continue our worship of the Lord this morning as we go into his word. So if you'd open your Bibles with me to Matthew 28, we're going to look at Matthew 28. Go ahead and grab your outlines also so you can follow along. Matthew 28, we're going to look at the whole chapter, verses 1 through 20. So I thought I'd go to like 1 o'clock today. Is everybody hot roast me overdone by that time? No, we're gonna briefly look at verses 1 through 20. Just let the Word of God really bless us today, really encourage our hearts. We've been so encouraged today through God's Word, through the sharing, through what Scott shared with us, just to open up the service through our communion time together and what Pastor Craig encouraged us to do. And just we are truly blessed, aren't we? We truly are, and God's really ministering to us today, and he is every day, but I don't know, it seems like in a special way today. So many things in our life that we really need the Lord for. And a day like today when we celebrate the resurrection of Christ, really God holds us close. And, just our hearts are drawn to him. It's just such a special day. We'll be looking, like I said, at the whole chapter briefly for our Easter message entitled, He is Risen. The resurrection of Christ, of Jesus Christ, this has been shared already, but is the central event of God's redemptive history. The Bible is a book of redemption. That's what it is. It's God's redeeming work all the way through the Old Testament, all the way through the New. And the high point and the pinnacle of it is the resurrection of Christ. That's the work of God. It's the cornerstone of the Christian faith. It's about everything that we are and everything that we have and everything that we hope to be. It comes through the resurrection of Christ. All of that we have and are and hope to be is predicated on its reality that he lives. As beautiful as the cross is, and that we did last week in our Palm Sunday and the songs that we sang today, this isn't beautiful without the resurrection. For without him living, without him being raised, there is no really hope, is there? He's the one that shows us that he conquered the power of sin and death. If he did not raise, he didn't conquer it. So how could he conquer it in our life? Without the resurrection, there would be no Christianity, no Christian faith, no salvation, no hope. There would have been no crucifixion of Christ because God wouldn't have done it for it not to do its finished work. And the finished work is the raising of Christ. The foundation of all of our hope is expressed in Jesus' own words out of John's gospel where he says, I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live even if he dies. Because I live, you shall also live. And he's not talking physical life in the sense. What he's meaning is the life that God wanted to give you, the new life, the resurrected life, the eternal life. That's the life that he came to give, and he was raised so we could have it. He died, he was crucified, so our sin's penalty would be paid, so we would be forgiven of our sin. But for us to have the new life, he had to live so God could give us the new life, where we have power over sin and death living in our life, dwelling in our life. What we look at today in Scripture is Matthew's account of the resurrection, which focuses on the emotional reaction. That's really, it's very relational here. It's the emotional reaction of a group of women who loved Jesus deeply. It's in Matthew 28 here, and we're going to look all the way through it. We're going to look at the empty tomb and the reaction of the women. Then we're going to look at the lie, the reaction of those who don't believe that he lives. And then we're going to look at the Great Commission and see the Lord's summons to us as believers for us to react to the resurrection from the new life that we've given us, our reaction to having new life, being raised to new life, being changed, transformed. Then lastly, we will look at the results. So look with me. We'll begin in verses 1 through 10. And I titled it The Empty Tomb. First, we'll look at the occasion. Listen to the story Matthew gives us of account of the truth of this resurrection morning. First, the occasion. verses 1 through 4. Now, after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. The guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. What an incredible scene. This is not a book or a movie that somebody wrote and somebody made to be dramatic. This is the story, this is the truth of God's word on that day. The women come to the Lord's tomb on the first day of the week, on a Sunday morning at dawn, the first Easter. They have come to with spices so they can anoint the Lord in his burial. I mean, it's a loving and affectionate thing they're doing. They've loved him all the way through, and he's ministered to them, and he's gone and he's died, and they want to come and they want to put spices and anoint their Lord. They knew the stone covered the tomb, covered the door of the tomb. It was sealed. They knew that. They knew there was Roman soldiers there guarding it. They had no idea how they were going to get the stone out of the way. They had no idea what was going to go on. They just came. They came just to because of their love for the Lord. They didn't know what was going to happen. Yet when they arrived, a violent earthquake happened, rolling the stone away from the door, and an angel from heaven sat on the stone, and his appearance was like lightning. Boom. You ever seen lightning? This is the description of what happened. They came up in an earthquake, and boom! And they roll the stone away, and there's an angel sitting on there, and the guards are filled with fear, and they can't move, and they're powerless to do a thing about anything. What an incredible scene. What an incredible truth. Certainly it grabbed their attention. It's there. God wrote it and let us know to grab ours. Listen to what the angel said. Hear his proclamation. He says this very simply, verse 5 and 6. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, just as he said. Come see the place where he was laying." Dwell on that moment in your life for a second. The moment is a time in history. This moment is real and true and actual and happened. And the angel said, "He's not here." The greatest news ever, really, right? He is risen. The pinnacle of God's redemptive, the conquering of sin and death, right here being revealed. Jesus had told them and many others several times that he would die and on the third day he would rise. Think about it. Could this truly be happening? We watched him die. We watched him buried. We know the stone's in the way. We love him. We don't. And we're here, and is this, he is risen? Luke 24:8 reports to us that at that moment they remembered the Lord's words about his death and resurrection. He said this would happen. He said many things all through the scriptures, all through the gospels, and he said this and that, and we walked with him. This is real, you guys. This is not just words on a page. This is a life story. This is reality. This is God's revelation of himself. This is Jesus Christ, these women in their life for years and walking with him and listening to him say things and do things and make things happen and sharing the love and care and all that it is and what's going on. And then he's dead and he's in a grave and they're remembering he said this and then he's not there. It's to be impactful to us each and every day. Like Pastor Craig was encouraging us to remember that the reality of what God has done, the reality, this is more real than Easter lunch today. And how real is that to us? This is a reality that the world needs to know, that God had happened so the world would know. Next, the women were encouraged to come see the place where he was laying. They go in, the tomb is empty. The angel joins there. Just think about that for a moment. This really happened. And there it is, where he was laying. the grave clothes are just on top of the stone that he was laying, and it looks like he just kind of came up out of them. And the headcloth is rolled up neatly and set over there. And another text in John tells us another angel sat at the head, and now the angel came in, and now there's one here and one here. And in Mark 16:6, we understand that the angel says, do not be amazed. I wrote, yeah, easy for you to say. Would you be amazed? You would be incredibly amazed. But aren't you incredibly amazed that God saved you? Aren't you incredibly amazed that God loves you and guides you and leads you and gives you hope every single day in the midst of whatever life is, that you have an answer to give to others in their despair, that you have a loving heart and a loving hand to others that you do not know? Aren't you amazed what God did in your salvation? Because if you know who you are, if you know who you are before you were saved, if you know what God did, you are truly amazed. He saved a wretch like me. That's the Apostle Paul. We're truly amazed. You'd be amazed. He's not there. Look at it. And in Mark 16, let me finish reading it. He said, don't be amazed. You're looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He is risen. He's not here. Behold, here is the place where they laid him. It's astonishing when you put the reality into your heart. This is a reality that happened. The world will laugh at us. The world will like, oh, you know, you listen to what people will say and what goes around now in our country and how people view things and all of it is. Have they heard the truth of the reality that Jesus lives? Have they heard the truth that he died and was crucified? This isn't a thing people believe so they can have a crutch in this world. This isn't a thing that they do so they have hope. This is a reality that people have been born again, saved, made new with this truth that happened. Then the angel said in verse 7 and 8, go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he's going ahead of you. Going ahead of you into Galilee, there you will see him. Behold, I have told you. And they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to report to his disciples. I don't know. You ever see women run? Grabbed your attention, didn't I? No, these women ran to obey the angel's instructions, for they hurried away from the tomb to go tell the disciples the good news that Jesus will meet them in Galilee. He is risen. Earlier in the week, Matthew 26, 32, Jesus had told the 11 remaining disciples, this is incredible, he told them, hey, after I am raised, I will go before you in Galilee. Just think about that, and now go tell them he's going to meet us there. I've seen the angel. Tell him everything that he was there. He's not in the tomb. The angel, hey, I'm running here. I mean, I can't tell all the story, but the incredibleness of that the women go and they tell the disciples, and, you know, like most of us, they just don't believe what was said. They all got to run to the tomb. Hey, he's not there. And, you know, and they're running around. Oh, is he going to, you know, all of the thing. But incredible, isn't it? That he had told them, hey, after I've been raised, I'll see you in Galilee. The angel instructed the women to tell the disciples Jesus will meet them there, so they are filled with joy and fear and ran to report the good news to the disciples. Filled with joy and fear. Can I tell you what that's like? Do you know what that's like? You guys are going to agree with me. The first time you became a parent. There's that baby. I don't know if you... I held all of mine the moment they were born and walked in the room and, you know, I was there. But that moment, that time that you have a newborn and it's your first one and your parents, you're so filled with joy, but you're so conflicted with the responsibility that now I am responsible for this one and what their life in the next 18, 20, 25, depends how long they stay home. Am I right, parents? Full of joy, but fear with, wow, now there's a responsibility that comes with all that comes with having to be a parent to a child. It's really hard to comprehend, right, guys, the full implications of being a parent. And that moment of the first child that just overwhelms you, that's what they're filled with. Next, as the women were on their way to tell the disciples what had happened, Jesus suddenly meets them. Listen to the personal appearance, verses 9 through 10. And behold, Jesus met them and greeted them, and they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, don't be afraid, and go and take word to my brethren to leave for Galilee, and there they will see me. This is amazing. This is all true. And as they're going to tell the disciples, Christ meets them right there. He appeared to the disciples many times. He appeared to them all over the place and other things. We won't go through all of that. One time, 500 of them, Paul says, Jesus appeared to them in 1 Corinthians 15. But why here? We know in the other ones, when the disciples had gathered, they went in there and Thomas doubted, and then he said, and all of the different, why? Why here? Why is there running to tell the disciples? Why did Christ, in his compassion, meet them there? He just repeats the same message the angels gave these women, tells them the same thing, and they're running to go there. It's not like they're not like, well, I don't know if we're going to go. They're running there. The Lord himself, knowing these women, knowing their hearts full of joy and fear, says, do not be afraid. Kind of like in our life, when some things are like that, and we just don't know, and we're just at those points of life, and then the Lord, and just in our heart, through the Spirit of God, maybe through his word, or through a brother or sister in Christ, comes and says in this way, it's more like, don't be fearful. In the Lord's loving way, he appears to them to alleviate their fear, strengthen their assurance that he lives, that he is risen. That happens to us, doesn't it? I know in my life it has. I know in my life with many of you and being with you in a lot of different ways and a lot of different, and I know that the Lord has met us, the Lord has minister to you and to me in many ways when we needed a strengthening or assurance of that he lives, he is our Lord. Certainly they did. Now the lie. Verses 11 through 15, it's always like the enemy to propagate a lie concerning the Lord Jesus, isn't it? It's right here. Matthew records it this way. It just happened immediately. I mean, it's propagated a lie concerning the truth. Simply listen to it. Listen to the lie. Now, while they were on their way, those are the women, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priest all that had happened. Would you like to have been on in that conversation? Hey, this angel came, earthquake, boom, lightning, man, the stone rolled away. Then he's sitting on the thing, right? And then the ladies are there, right? And then he says, come on in. They come on in. He's not in there. We were sitting there all night. There we were, man. Guards, it's sealed. It's a big stone. I mean, it's a big, heavy stone, all kinds of stuff. Boom! I tell the guys, they're all like going, all right, who let these guys be drinking here? No. This is true. This all really happened. And he tells them a whole story. This is to the enemy's response, really. This is his response, and when they had assembled with the elders and the consulted together, and they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers and said, you are to say his disciples came by night, stole him away while they were asleep. Compare the stories. No. You say the disciples came, and while you guys were sleeping, right, he came and they took him away. You guys say that, and then, well, the guards, well, gosh, the authorities, we're going to get kind of trouble. So it says this. And if this should come to the governor's ear, that you messed up and fell asleep and let him out, we will win him over and keep you out of trouble. And they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story was widely spread among the Jews and is to this day. The lie against Christ is spread till this day. It infiltrates the world. It infiltrates everything. People will come up with It's amazing what they'll come up to deny the resurrection of Christ. It will never stop. The lie against the truth of the gospel will always come. But the Lord summons us. Listen to what's next. He's called us. He summons us, commanded us. It's a summons from the new life that we have in Christ. The God command. That's what it is. He summons us to go and share the gospel. Here's the Great Commission. Listen to it, verse 16 through 20. But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee to the mountain which Jesus has designated. All right, so they went there. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, and some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Here are 11 disciples standing before the risen Lord, and Jesus, speaking to them, says, "Based on my sovereign authority over life and death itself, by my divine authority that's been given to me over existence, I summons you, believers, to go and make disciples, teach them my way, teach them my word, teach them my truth, baptize them as followers of Christ, and I, the sovereign Lord, will go with you till the end of all of this." Wow. Wow. What's the result? What's the result? That's the crux. That's what we're learning, what we're talking about today, what we've been focusing on. Luke 24, 40, 46 and 47 says, "It is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead, and on the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sin would be proclaimed in his name." It is written. The response is the people of God, the ones that God has saved. What is written in the Word of God is coming out of you. You are sharing the repentance and forgiveness of sin through faith in Jesus Christ. What God wrote in Luke, he's performing through you and through me. The result is now, isn't it? The result is you and me, right? The result is the disciples went out and shared this. I want you to look at a video today of a man that God used to bring about God's results, the results. It's Billy Graham. I just thought it would be, in a sense, honoring what this man had poured out his life for, but to encourage us. Let's go ahead and watch this. It's just a minute and a half.
Jesus Christ is alive. He rose from the dead, and that day, that Easter Sunday morning, that first Easter, when Mary and Mary Magdalene and Salome went to the grave expecting to anoint a dead body, they saw the angel sitting there. And they said, "Where is Jesus?" The angel said, "He is not here, he is risen." I submit to you tonight that that's the greatest news the world has ever heard. He is not here. He has conquered the grave. He's alive. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe that there's more proof that Jesus Christ rose from the dead than almost any other fact in Roman history. I don't believe there's a fact in ancient history today so well proven as the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But even if there was no proof, no historical proof, no scientific proof, and there is, I would still believe it, because I believe this book is God's inspired word, and the whole early church went up and down the country preaching the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That was the thing that shook the Roman Empire, that a man had risen from the dead, that he was alive, that death could not hold him. Christ is alive. He's a living Savior.
There's only a few men that seems like can say it that way, isn't there? As much as I would try and want to and have God use me, and I know you in your life and that God would use you, let me encourage you, God is using all of us. It's really stirring to think about this. What happened now is the disciples went about what they were going to do. They went about sharing it. They were persecuted. The early church was persecuted. They went through some things that were very difficult, trying. death and all different kind of things, nothing that we've ever faced as Christians. But what they knew is what we know, like Paul said in Romans 1:16, is that the gospel, the truth of Christ about his death and resurrection, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. It's that simple. It's just sharing about the death and resurrection of Christ. It's sharing about being a sinner and needing a salvation, and that Christ died on the cross. But you have to keep in there that he was raised again, because that's how brought the conquering over death and sin, and that God raised him from the dead so we could be justified, so we could be given new life. And that's why I love you, or that's why I try to deal with my life, or that's why I'm trying to share the truth with you. And it's all real, it's all truth. And for 2,000 years, men and women, disciples of the Lord, by his authority, by his presence, his power, have shared the truth of Christ, and many people have believed into salvation with new life in Christ, with a newness of life, with a living hope, and a hope of a promised heaven. And me and you live in that line of results. If they would have quit saying it 50 years ago, we wouldn't be sitting here, unless the Lord would have spoke through the rocks, and he can do that too. But we are in the line of it. As his church, we carry on the summons to proclaim the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The praise team will go ahead and kind of come on up. Join me. But that's what we do. That's the Living Word Fellowship. That's this body of Christ. That's the church, God's church, Christ's church. We carry on the summons to proclaim the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the only way to be saved. That's what the results are. They're continuing. One day they won't continue anymore. The message we proclaim is pretty simple. It's just the truth of the gospel. It isn't try to be good. It isn't you work your way to righteousness. It isn't like, okay, if you'll do some rituals or you'll hold some, you know, certain kind of ordinances and do these things. It's the basic truth of what Christ is, the gospel, that Jesus lived a sinless life, was crucified on the cross to pay the penalty of your sin. It's the most relational, compassionate thing God could do for humanity, so that you could be forgiven for your sin. For anyone that would believe in Jesus Christ, he raised him from the dead. God did this to give new life, eternal life, to anyone would believe, because he's conquered sin and death, and you need it to be conquered in your life, or you're going to spiritually die and physically die and be separated from God forever. But you can be restored and rescued by God if you will repent of your sin, turn from sin, trust in Christ, you'll be saved. It's the simple message that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved, born again, new life. It's Resurrection Day. It's the day that God has given us to celebrate that we've all been raised from spiritually dead, slaves of sin, to have this new life in Christ that's eternal. We do that together as just church. Will you stand with me as we sing the closing song, and then we'll pray.